The life of William Shakespeare. No reliable biography available. No truly reliable or authentic biography of Shakespeare can be written because very little about the man has come down to us from genuine sources. The available facts about his life are based chiefly on guesswork and conjecture. Parentheses. William Shakespeare was born on April 23, 1564, in the village of Stafford-on-Avon, in the country of Warwickshire. His father, John Shakespeare, was a farmer's son who came to Stafford about 1531 and began to prosper as a trader in corn, wheat, leather, and agricultural products. His mother, Mary Arden, was the daughter of a prosperous farmer, descended from an old family of mixed Anglo-Saxon Norman blood. It is generally believed that neither the poet's mother nor his father could read or write. Early experiences. Of Shakespeare's education, little is known. For a few years, he probably attended the grammar school at Stafford, where he picked up small Latin and less Greek. His real teachers, meanwhile, were the men and women and natural influences which surrounded him. Stafford is a charming little village in the beautiful country of Warwickshire, near at hand where the Forest of Arden and the old castles of Warwick and Kenilworth, and the old Roman camps and military roads, all of which appealed powerfully to the Roman camps and military roads. All of which appealed powerfully to the boy's active imagination. Every aspect of natural beauty of his exquisite region is reflected in Shakespeare's poetry. Just as his characters reflect the nobility and the littleness, the gossip, vices, emotions, prejudices, and traditions of the people about him. The Norse in Romeo and Juliet, for instance, is simply the reflection of some forgotten Norse with whom Shakespeare had talked by the wayside. One whose endless gossip, but also the dreams, the unconscious poetry that sleeps in the heart of the common people, appealed tremendously to Shakespeare's imagination and all reflected in his greatest plays. In the same way, his education at the hands of nature came from keeping his heart as well as his eyes wide open to the beauty of the world, because he noted and remembered every significant thing in the changing scenery of earth and sky. No other writer has ever equaled him in the perfect setting of his characters. Early occupations. When Shakespeare had attended at the age of 14, his father lost his little property and fell into debt. The boy probably left school to help to support the family of younger children. It is not exactly known what occupation he followed for the next 8 years. From evidence found in his place, it is maintained that he was a country schoolmaster and a lawyer's clerk. But if evidence of this kind be collected from his various plays, then Shakespeare will be found to have been a botanist, a courtier, a clown, a king, a woman, a Roman, etc. He was everything in his imagination, and it is impossible from a study of his scenes and characters from a definite opinion that is his early occupations. Marriage. In 1582, Shakespeare married Annie Hathaway, the daughter of a peasant family. She was 8 years older than Shakespeare. From many mocking references to marriage made by the characters in Shakespeare's plays, and from the fact that he soon left his wife and family and went to London, it is generally alleged that the marriage was a hasty and unhappy one. But here again, such internal evidence is untrustworthy. There are quite a number of references in his plays to the happy side of love and marriage. And on this ground, we could as well say that Shakespeare's marriage was a happy one. And the fact that after his enormous success in London, he retired to Stafford to live quickly with his wife and daughters confirms this conclusion. Departure from Stafford. About the year 1587, Shakespeare went to London, where he joined Borbes' company of actors. According to a tradition, his reason for leaving Stafford was that he had been caught stealing a deer from Sir Thomas Lucy's park, and he fled from Stafford to escape the consequences. But it is not certain whether at the time of Shakespeare is said to have stolen a deer. There were any deer or park at the place referred to. At any rate, it is unworthy to construct out of rumor the story of a great life which had no contemporary biographer. Life in London. Of his life in London from 1587 to 1611, nothing definite is known. It was the period of his greatest literary activity. He entered the stirring life of England's capital with the same perfect sympathy and understanding which he had shown among the simple folk of his native Warwickshire. He came to be known among his followers as the gentle Shakespeare. Ben Jonson saved him. I loved the man and do honor to his memory. On this side of the idolatry, as much as any, he was indeed honest and of an open and free nature. To judge from only three of his earliest plays, Love, Lovers Lost, Comedy of Errors, and Two Gentlemen of Verona, it would seem that in the first 5 years of his London life, he had gained entrance to the society of gentlemen and scholars, and was ready by knowledge and observation as well as by genius to depict the whole stirring life of the English people in his plays. There is every reason to believe that his life in London, unlike that of the typical actor and playwright, was not wild and dissolute. Apprehensive and the extreme experimental stage. Shakespeare's first work may well have been that of a general helper, an odd job man about the theatre, but he soon became an actor. The records of the old London theatre show that in the next 10 years he gained a prominent place. Within 2 years he was at work on plays, and his course was exactly like that of other playwrights of his time. He worked with other writers and he revised old plays before writing his own, and so gained a practical knowledge of his art. He soon broke away from his apprentice work and then appeared in quick succession. Love, Lovers Lost, Comedy of Errors, Two Gentlemen of Verona, the English Chronicle plays. Henry VI, Richard III, Richard II, King John. A Midsummer Night's Dream and Romeo Juliet. The wide variety of these plays, as well as their frequent crudities, marks the first or experimental stage of Shakespeare's work. It is as if the author were trying to train the temper of his audience. For to please his audience was the ruling motive of Shakespeare. Growing popularity. Shakespeare's poems, rather than these early dramatic attempts, marks the beginning of his success. Venus and Adonis became immensely popular in London. It was dedicated to the Earl of Southampton and brought from him a large amount of money as a gift. This money Shakespeare invested shrewdly, and soon he became part of owner of the Globe and Blackfriars theatres. At these theatres, his plays were presented by his own companies of actors. His success and popularity grew enormously. Within a decade of his arrival in London, he had become one of the most famous actors and literary men in England. The period of maturity. Following his experimental work, there came a series of great plays from his pen: The Merchant of Venice, As You Like It, Twelfth Night, Julius Caesar, Hamlet, Macbeth, Othello, King Lear, Antony, and Cleopatra. It is believed that the great tragedies of this period point to personal misfortunes in the life of Shakespeare, but what these misfortunes were, it is difficult to guess. It was probably this unknown sorrow which turned his thoughts back to his native village and caused a dissatisfaction with his work and profession. In 1597, he bought the finest house in Stafford and soon added a tract of farming land to complete his estate. His home visits became more and more frequent till about the year 1611. He left London and settled permanently at Stafford and Avon. Last years at Stafford. Though still in the prime of life, Shakespeare gave up his dramatic work to live the comfortable life of a country gentleman. Some of his latter plays show a decline from the quality of his previous work. His last play was The Tempest, based on an actual shipwreck. It is quite evident that Shakespeare thought little of success and had no idea that his dramas were the greatest that the world had ever produced. He made no attempt to collect or publish his work. After a few years of quiet at Stafford, Stafford-on-Avon, Shakespeare died on the anniversary of his birth. April 23, 1616, on his tombstone the following lines are inscribed: "Good friend, for Jesus' sake, forbear to dig the dust enclosed here. Blessed to be the man that spares the stones, and cursed be he that moves by bones." Thousands of people visit Shakespeare's tomb every year. His tomb has become almost a place of pilgrimage for his admirers.